The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
You know, that's a good message, amen. You know, as a pastor, you are charged and to be able to help people in so many various ways. Like the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Then it gives a list of what it's profitable for. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness. And so as a pastor, you have the awesome responsibility. You want to say awesome. It's a wonderful thing, but yet it's also that which is a challenging thing, to be able to meet all people's needs that you possibly can do. I've often said this about preaching, that preaching is the preacher praying, asking the Holy Spirit of God, give instruction to him, direction to go. And then it's the Holy Spirit of God that takes the preaching that's done in a general matter, in most cases, and gives it a personal application. And that's how come sometimes you get different responses, such as I'll preach a message that will be in general, and God, through the Holy Spirit, gives personal application. And one person might come out and give me a high five. And they say, man, that was just so good, preacher. Let me tell you. And then somebody else will come out, and it might be the husband of a wife or whatever. And the husband may come out and say, my wife told you, didn't he? Or didn't she? My wife told you, didn't she? I mean, you know, she wrote you a note. How much did she pay you? I just want to know, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, the Bible is applicable to all. Applicable to all. And what I want to speak on this morning on is how to bear my burdens. My burdens. And you're going to see an application here that I think is going to help everybody inside of the auditorium. Because there's going to be a day, if you don't have any burdens right now, there's going to be a day when you get burdens. There's going to be a day when you look at your wife and you're going to say, I don't know what to do. There's going to be a day when you look at your husband and you're going to say, I don't know what to do. There's going to be a day when you look at your parents and you're going to say, I don't know what to do. There's going to be a day when your parents look at you and they're going to say, I don't know what to do. There's going to be a day when all of a sudden your in-laws or your outlaws or your uplaws or your downlaws is going to come and say, I just don't know what to do. There may be a day when you have a friend, maybe at a business or something like that, and they've got burdens, and they just do not know how to carry their burdens. So let's dissect some verses first, and then we'll get into some practical application for help purposes. Notice this. We're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, brethren. Now, that means he's talking to saved people, all right? So this is the saved people. He said, brethren. So now that gets my attention. Now, why does that get my attention? Because I is a brethren. You know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. All right, so it says, brethren, if a man, now by the way, it says if, that's conditional. That doesn't mean that all men are going to face these plights. So it says, if a man be overtaken in a fault. So in other words, if this does happen in the life of your spouse, if this does happen in the life of your children, if this does happen in the life of your friend, if this does happen in the life of a business associate, if a person is overtaken in a fault. Now he's talking to the brethren. What does the brethren do if a person is overtaken in a fault? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. Okay, now he's classifying it, because can I tell you for sure, not all brethren are spiritual. You know, we have some people that carry their Bibles to church, and we have other people that don't carry their Bibles to church. We have some people that read their Bibles, and we have other people that don't read their Bibles. We have people that get excited about spiritual application, and we have other people that could care less about spiritual application. So now he's classifying what brethren he's talking to. All right? So he said, brother, it says, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. So now he's saying, okay, those of you that are saved, that are spiritual, I'm only talking to you. All right? Now, I don't know where you are, and I'm not your judge. So you may be sitting here today, and you not only have one halo on, you've got five or six, and they're stacked, and you are very spiritual this morning. Or you may be here this morning, and you may not have a halo. You lost it last night, or you lost it early this morning, or maybe you lost it as you sat beside someone that was supposed to go because the light was green, and they just did not go, and so you lost your halo. I'm not really sure. Okay? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore. Oh, now we see what the spiritual person's supposed to do. They're supposed to restore such a one. Now, how are they supposed to restore them? In the spirit of meekness. Now, why are they supposed to restore them? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Old preacher one time said, if you're pointing one finger, don't forget you've always got four pointing back. Okay? So what I'm supposed to be doing is I'm supposed to take up the ministry of restoring. The pastor's job is to restore. The pastor's job is look for people that need restoring, look for people that are not where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be, doing what they are supposed to be doing. Look for them and find out what is the problems in their life so that I, as a spiritual pastor, will walk beside them and help them to be able to be restored. Now, it goes on. It says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, it didn't talk about your burden yet, did it? But it said you have a responsibility and I have a responsibility to look for the burdens, that's plural, that's not singular. So I have a responsibility to look out and see the burdens, plural, that our brother Wislowski has. I have the responsibility to look out and see the burdens, plural, that brother Jonathan Wells has. I have the responsibility to look out and see the burdens, plural, that our brother Casey Palmer has. I have the responsibility to look out and see the burdens as a spiritual brother that brother Kevin Craig has. Or I have the responsibilities to look out and see the burdens that brother Mark Butler has, and yea, in your life too. Now, wait a minute. This is talking to spiritual people. So God says, as a spiritual person, one of the responsibilities you have is not first to look on your own burden, but to look on the burdens of others. Okay? All right? So what I'm supposed to do first off, before I even consider my burden, is to go down to everybody and say, I wonder what their burdens are. I wonder what their burdens they are carrying, okay? So first I look at others. Now, I'm only supposed to do that to try and help them because it says, ye which are spiritual, talking to saved people, ye which are spiritual, you have one purpose in life, and that is the purpose of just restoring people, okay? Then he says this. He says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceive himself. So now, if you're thinking you're better than somebody else, it ain't happening. If you think that you have the power to restore someone, it ain't happening. If you think that you're Mr. Cheese and she's Miss French Fry and your cheese is better than her fry, it's not happening. Okay? All right? So it says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. Boy, I wish we could get a hold of that. Curtis Hudson preached a message one time, God will never use anyone who thinks they're something until they become nothing, and when they become nothing, God will make them something. That's pretty good. You'll get that later on, about 5 days later. Amen. All right? Now, wait a minute. Here's what it says. The Bible says here, but let every man prove his own work, and then, it says, shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now, we've done all that, right? Now it comes down to you. What do you do with your burden? Says, for every man shall bear his own burden. All right, now I'm supposed to bear everybody else's burden, and then I'm supposed to bear my burden. That don't sound quite fair, does it? All right, and so give me these, and I'll tell you what, I'll use Brother Butler, if I may. Okay, and so here Brother Butler is. Now, Brother Butler is supposed to be, what? Yeah, he gets to go sleep. Here you go, right here. That's the average person that attends Baptist church. They come, they sleep, they bring it, and here we go. All right, so here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the first responsibility that Brother Butler has is that Brother Butler is supposed to make sure, first off, that he's spiritual. Well, no, let's say, Brother Butler is supposed to make sure, first off, he's in the faith. He's supposed to make sure he's saved, okay? Because if he's not saved, he's not going to help to bear anybody's burdens. Okay, so his first responsibility is to find out, are you in the brotherhood? Are you saved? Are you born again? Or, are you somebody that has been washed in the blood? Are you saved by the very grace of God? Do you know for sure that if you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? Do you know for sure that your name's written in the book of life? Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven and know it for sure? Not hope so, not maybe so, not might so, but know for sure that you are saved. All right, that makes him a brother. Amen. Now, he might not look like a brother, but he's a brother. All right? Now, once you're saved forever.
Amen.
He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. You can't lose it. If you wanted to, you can't lose it. Your name is written in the book of life, and it's sealed until the day of redemption. And by the way, you can rejoice about that on a rainy day.
Amen.
All right? So once you're saved, you're always saved. All right, so here he is. Now he's saved. He's part of the brethren. Now he has a responsibility once he gets saved is to become spiritual. God wants you and I to be spiritual. Now, doesn't that shock you? He wants us to be spiritual. Now, you can't be spiritual by skipping church, and you can't be spiritual by not reading your Bible, and you can't be spiritual by not obeying God, all right? Part of walking with God is being obedient to him in every fashion, a part of his will for your life. All right, so here he is, and so he's saved. Now he has responsibility. If I'm going to help people, I get spiritual. So he's got to decide he's going to get spiritual. So when he's getting spiritual, he's walking with God, he's obeying God, he is pleasing God, he's walking in God's will, he's trying to help people, he's praying, he is living a life that's Christ-honoring. Now he becomes somebody, if you would please, because his depth is deeper, if you would please, his income of walking with Christ is deeper than his outgo. Amen. So he's not walking in the flesh. All right, so here he is. Now he qualifies to bear. Put that on your shoulder like it's a burden. So now he qualifies to bear one another's burdens. So now he can walk around. He'll come over here, and he can walk around, and he can take his burden. And then he can take, go ahead, and he can take his burden. And then he can take his burden. And then he can take his burden. And then he can take his burden. But yet, first off, he's not supposed to consider his own burdens. So his responsibility is to be a burden bearer of all. Can I tell you as a pastor? I will testify. Can I tell you that as a pastor, I find myself bearing many people's burdens? I find it all the time. And I find that our civilization is a burden-bearing society because everybody has burdens. Now, some of you have big burdens. Some of you have small burdens. Some of you have burdens that are just now developing, and some of you are on the end run of bearing your burdens. But we all have burdens. Now, God says here, first off, in order for me to be able to help somebody, I've got to make sure I'm in the faith. I've got to make sure I'm saved. Secondly, I've got to make sure that I am a spiritual brother. All right? Then I've got to go about the right way. I'm in it only to restore. All right? So I go about finding people that have burdens, and I try to restore them as close to walking by faith and obedience to God as they possibly can be. All right? And so stand up, Wesso, and hold your Bible. So my responsibility is to find people that have burdens. And then I try to get them to take those burdens to the Lord. Now, by the way, nobody can help you like the Lord.
Amen.
You can cry on somebody's shoulder until there is no tears. But God and God alone is the one that can help you. That's why it says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. All right? So you got a burden. You're all weighted down. Get weighted down, Brother Butler. And so you got a burden. All weighted down. What do you do? Here's what you do. You go to the Almighty God that created the heavens and the earth, that had the power to speak creation into existence, that has the power to answer prayer, that has the power to come through, and you go to the one that can help, and you say, here's my burdens, and God can help you with your burdens. All right, thank you. Go back to your perspective places. Watch this, statement number one, if I may. Okay, so we are to bear the burdens of another. We are to bear the burdens of another. All right, brethren, if a man, didn't say it would, but said if. Not all men find themselves in such plights. But the Bible says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. All right? And so, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to look for people that have burdens and help them with their burdens. Now, how do I help them with their burdens? I help them with their burdens by restoring them as close to Christ as I possibly can. I want to get them as close to the Savior as I possibly can. You know why? Because only the Savior, he's the great physician. He's the great physician, and only the great physician can help. So I'm restoring him. By the way, restoring somebody takes time. Sure it does. Restoring somebody takes love. Well, sure it does. Restoring somebody, you ready, takes patience. You teach your child, do it, do it, do it, do it, and they do it, and then they forget. And then you come back, do it, do it, do it, and then they do it, and then they forget. So what's it take? It takes patience. Restoring somebody is bringing them close, as closest back to the mark that they left before they left. All right, so you restore them. Now, the Bible says this. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. Now, wait a minute. What is the blessing of that? I get to fulfill the law of Christ. Yes. I get to operate in Christ's stead. Amen. I get to walk in Christ's stead. Christ said, hey, I'm going to give you an awesome responsibility. I am going to give you as a spiritual person the right, the ability to be able to restore people to me in my stead. All right? And so what do? I find somebody that has a burden, and I go about, and I visit them, and I hear their burden. They tell me their burden. People will often tell you their burden very easily. And so I hear his burden, and I go to the next one, and I'm listening to him now is what I'm doing. And I hear his burden, I go to the next one, and I hear his burden, and I go to the next one, and then I hear his burden, and then I say, what in the world do I do? Because now I feel weighted down. Now, what do I do with all these burdens? Man, so-and-so's having this trouble, and 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 so-and-so don't understand this, and so-and-so can't get a grip on this, and so-and-so's entangled in this sin of bondage here, and what do I do? It's too much. You ever feel that way? I've got everybody's burdens, and it's just too much. What in the world do I do? Well, first off, I, stand up, having all these burdens cannot restore anybody. Amen. All I can do is operate in the narrative of being the person I ought to be to help them. But I'm not God. I'm not the Holy Ghost. But I know God, and me and the Holy Ghost are best friends. So I know what to do. So what do? I point him in the direction whereby he can have help with all of his burdens. Now, I'm going to shock you. It is not God's will that he take away all your burdens. Because if God took away all your burdens, you wouldn't have to trust him anymore. There are some burdens that you will bear the rest of the days of your life. Because God has allowed that to come in your life to make you a better Christian, not a worse Christian. You say, I married him and I wish I wouldn't. Too late, sister. Well, I married her and I wish I wouldn't. Too late, Bubba. You know, you're married till death do you part. Well, I thought she could cook. That's not why you married her. Well, when I married her, she was pretty. Yeah, but Bubba, you changed too. Amen. Well, you know, when we got married, we were both sharp as a tack. Now we lost our tack. And that's why you have trouble. You lost your tack. Now I'm saying this. Here is what we see. We see this. It says, bear one another's burdens. You want to get close to God? You want to get close to Christ? Then you do it his way. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, by the way, here's what he says, and let's not forget what our Bible says. Look at it, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, brethren, if man be overtaken of fault, ye which are spiritual, it says, restore such a one. It says, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou watch it, lest thou watch it, lest thou watch it, lest thou also be tempted. All right? So by the same token that you're supposed to bear somebody's burdens, you are not supposed to let those burdens bury you. Well, I've just got all these burdens upon me, and oh, it's weighting me down, and I just don't know what to do. I'm going to share with you an answer in just a moment. Take your perspective place. Statement number one, we are to bear the burdens of another. Statement number two, you ready? We're supposed to bear our own burden. Well, preacher, it's just not fair. I got to bear everybody else's burden and my burden too. That's God's will for your life, and that's God's will for my life. I'm supposed to bear everybody's burdens that I can by the grace of God as a spiritual person. I'm supposed to restore as many people as I can by the grace of God as a spiritual person. And at the very same time, as a spiritual person, I'm supposed to bear my own burden. Here's what it says. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. Don't ever get to the point where you're puffed up. Well, you know, I tell you, I'm just better than somebody else. My underarm don't stink. No. We're all saved by the grace of God. I got saved from the other side of the track. Some of you did too. I didn't come up in this Christianity stuff. I didn't do it. I didn't get saved until I was 18. I do nothing about Christianity. But can I tell you, I'm so glad I can look back and say, hey, let me tell you how God saved me. I'm so glad about that. And I'm so glad I came from the other side of the track. That way I can always be appreciative to know where I came from. All right? Now, wait a minute. And so we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. And then we're supposed to bear our own burden. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. The Bible says, and every man, it says, bear his own burden. Now, let me show you. So he's got the burdens of the world on him, burdens of all of his friends, his neighbors, his relatives, his kids, and his other people. And then he's supposed to take his own burden. He's supposed to bear it too. Now, can I tell you, that's going to get heavy. That is going to get heavy. So what in the world do I do with all these burdens? You know, and by the way, are you listening to me? Those burdens are healthy. You had no burdens. I'm going to reemphasize something. You would never rely on Christ like you should. Come on. You know, when I prayed and I was sickly and I was 4 days down and I had that fever and I had that flu and I had a strep throat. And boy, I tell you what, I hurt like no man's business. I mean, I just hurt so much. You know what that caused me to do? You know what that forced me to do? You know what that pushed me to do? It pushed me to get closer to Christ than had I had not had that. Come on. I remember the first time I had kidney stones. Oh, dear Lord. Kidney stones. Oh, my. I was preaching in North Carolina. I was preaching a youth camp. Oh, man, Brother Palmore, I had kidney stones. I didn't know what they were. And I was the main speaker all week long, all these kids, you know, on my shoulders and all the burden I had for them. And I wanted God to do something big. And in the conferences I preach most of the time on the last service, I'll give invitation for full-time service. Oh, I didn't want to botch that. And I didn't want somebody else to get up there and not do it. And so, boy, I was just so burdened down. Oh, my soul. And I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know if I had kidney failure. I didn't know what it was. And so, boy, I told my dear wife, I said, oh, I don't know what I got. And I didn't know if it was appendicitis. I just did not know. And finally, Mrs. Welch, Tina Welch, was the camp director's wife. She came in, and of course, she had some nursing skills, and her mama did too, or her mother-in-law did too. And they came in, they felt, and they said, well, we don't believe that there's kidney failure, and we don't believe it's appendicitis. We believe that you might have kidney stones. Well, how in the world could these little bitty stones hurt anybody? But they were killing me. And they said, we need to get you to the hospital ASAP. I said, I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't like hospitals. I mean, I thank God we've got doctors, we got nurses in our church and stuff like that. And I thank God for you, and I love you, but I really don't want to come see you on that grounds. And so they said, we got to get you to the hospital. I said, I don't want to. But it started to hurt so bad, I called for them again. I said, get me to the hospital. They got me to the hospital. I go walking in, I'm all bent over. I mean, I'm having a hard time walking. I'm all bent over, and there's a doctor in the hospital. He came out, and he hit his knee, and he started pointing at me and laughing. He said, I know what you got. I said, well, he said, you got kidney stones. Have a seat. I said, I can't sit. He said, I'll be with you in a little bit. He took his merry old time, put me in a wheelchair. He's back there cutting jokes. You know, now wait a minute. You know what? Can I tell you that, however, when we were heading to the hospital, I cried aloud and spared not. I didn't know what to say, but I tell you, brother, I tell you, I was praying. And all I could say over and over is, "Dear God." God knew his name was God, that's for sure. And I said, "Dear God, help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Dear God." That's about all I could get out. Now, wait a minute. I'm glad that somebody picked up my burden and helped me. I couldn't have made it to the hospital by myself. Yeah. I'm glad I had a dear wife, and I'm glad, of course, there was a nurse there, and she pointed out, "You probably just need to go." You know, when they shot me up with something, I felt pretty good after that, by the way. I don't know what it was, but they shot me up with something, and I was able to preach in the Spirit that night for sure. And that night, God used the Word of God, and people got saved, and people got called to the ministry. Now, can I tell you, listen to me. I'm saying we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Statement number two, we're supposed to bear our own burden. Now, how is it that we can do that? Let me give you this, and this is the finishing of the message, and that is we're supposed to yoke up with Christ. You cannot bear your burden, nor can you bear other people's burdens. By the way, when he talks about your burden, it's singular. When he talks about other people's burdens, it's plural.
Right.
Did you notice that?
Yes.
So you're supposed to be concerned with other people's burdens more than you're concerned with your burden. All right, now wait a minute. Here's what it says. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." All right, so he feels heavy. He don't go all the way down to your knees. I'm going to use you. But he feels heavy. You ever see somebody walking around, they're just heavy? Just keep walking. Heavy, 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 heavy. Might be because they have cancer. Heavy. Might be because they have a dysfunctional heart. Heavy. Might be because they've got a stomach ache. Heavy. Might be because they have dental problems. Heavy. It might be because they have relationship problems. Heavy. It might be because they have financial reversal. Heavy. It might be because they have the turmoils of life that is kicking against their pricks. Heavy. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say he's supposed to lay burdens down. Did you ever notice that? Doesn't say he's supposed to lay burdens down. Don't forget, burdens are good for him. Doesn't say he's supposed to lay his own burden down or get rid of his own burden. His own burden's good for him. But it does give you a solution whereby, because you are so burdened, that you can get some relief. Now, where is your relief? Now, where do you think it is? Here's where it says. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. "Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Now, he says, "Come on to me." He didn't say, "Come on to Brother Craig," and he didn't say, "Come on to Brother Palmore," and he didn't say, "Come on to Brother Jonathan," and he didn't say, "Come on to Brother Weslowski." He says, "You have one place where you can get rest. Come on to me." Hello. He says, "Come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Now watch what he says. Just by coming on to him, he said, "I'll give you rest." Now, you can shout about that on a hot summer day in Texas.
Amen.
You can shout about that when nothing goes right in your life, everything goes wrong, and you cannot see a blessing. He says, here's what we're supposed to do, though. Once we come on to him, we just don't go over here and stand up. You represent the Lord, Wesso. All right? So we're not just supposed to come to him and just stand there and say, "Here I am. I've got the burdens of everybody, and I've got my own burden, and here I am. I came to you just like you said." No, there's something you're supposed to do once you come to him. Now, if you don't get this, you'll never get help with your burdens or your burden. Here's what he says. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So, Wesso, come, put your arm around him on the side, walk beside him, just beside him, just beside him, just beside him. Now, watch. So, he's not supposed to bear your burdens, and he is not supposed to bear his burden by himself, but he is supposed to hook up with the Almighty God and let God get in the yoke with God. I don't know if you ever plowed with oxen before, and I don't know if you ever plowed with horses before, but can I tell you, the bigger the horse, the more load they carry themselves. You take a big old plow horse, and you put a big old plow horse in the yoke with a smaller horse, and let me tell you which one's going to do the greater bearing of the burden. That little bitty horse just kind of walks along with a free trip. But that big old oxen, what does he do? He does most of the pulling. Now, can I tell you, God's shoulders are bigger than your shoulders? Can I tell you, God's strength is bigger than your strength, friend? Can I tell you, no matter what you're going through, if you don't hook up with God and you try and bear the burdens of others by yourself, and yea, your own burden, you'll not be able to make it. And eventually you'll fall to the ground and be crushed. Now, wait a minute. How does this happen? He says, come on to me. First, you got to come to him. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, not proud. He said, I'm lowly in heart. I'll help you. I'll get down to where you live. Lowly in heart. Come on, neighbor. I'll get down to where you live. Lowly in heart. He says, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Now, in order to learn of him, I got to stay in the yoke. Walk this way, back and forth. In order to learn of him, now, by the way, I've still got everybody's burdens. Hello? You ever wonder how some pastors survive? You ever wonder why some pastors don't survive? Having the burdens of all the people plus their own. How is it that they make it? It depends on if they get with God or not. All right, now wait a minute. And so, keep it going. And so, here we are. He's bearing everybody else's burdens, and he's bearing his own burden. But he's yoked up with the right one. Man. Now, looky here. Here's the problem. If you unyoke, then you bear it all by yourself. Now, fella, can I tell you, you won't make it by yourself.
Right.
And God's plan is not for you to make it by yourself. But you can't get come here, Casey Palmore. You can't get a Casey Palmore to help you with your burden. First off, are you listening to me? That is your burden, and God said you're supposed to bear your own burden. Hello? Okay, watch, I'm helping you. You know, every morning I wake up, and when I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I see the biggest burden that I'll carry all day long. You say, preacher, what is that? Me? Somebody went to D.L. Moody one day and said, Mr. Moody, do you have any enemies? He said, every morning when I wake up and look in the mirror, I see him. He's talking about himself. You're your biggest enemy. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. All right, so he might could help him a little bit, but that's about it because he's flesh. Eventually, he's going to get tired. Eventually, he's going to get weary. Because it's not God's plan that he help you to carry the burdens that you're trying to carry. God didn't give them to him. He gave them to you. Man. Are you ready for this one? He entrusted you. So if he so entrusted you, why in the world are you trying not to trust him back? That's deep. Sit on it for a while. Thank you. Be seated. All right, so he yokes up with God. Here it is. He yokes up with God, and as he yokes up with God, the burden now becomes peaceful. Restful. Hello? Because he's yoked up with the right one, dear friend. Now watch this and I'm done. He says, come on to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, here it is, he's given double emphasis here, rest. Here it is, for your souls. Your soul is comprised of three, your mind, your will, and emotion. You say, I'm having emotional problems. There's your answer. I'm having will problems. There's your answer. I'm having heart problems. There's your answer. Now, he tells me why. He says, here's why it will happen. He says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Got that big old oxen. He's in there. Big old oxen. Big old oxen. You know, big old oxen. And give me a little guy. And come here. Big old oxen, stand that way. Big old oxen. And they got the burden between them. Big old oxen, big old oxen. And then you got this little bitty one. They're both under yoke. Now, who in the world you think's going to bear most of the weight? This guy right here. Because it's not God's will that he bear it.
Amen.
Some of you, and I love you in the Lord, but here's the problem. You're relying on you too much. You're taking too much upon you. Amen. You're becoming too overly concerned. Can I tell you, let yourself get in the yoke with the one that can help you. Thank you. Be seated. Let me give you just a couple of closing illustrations and I'm done. Dr. Lee Robertson had a daughter. Her name was Joy. And Dr. Robertson's daughter, by the name of Joy, had some great difficulties and finally went home to be with the Lord. And they decided that they were going to turn their burden into a blessing. And they established Camp Joy in Tennessee. And when they did, tens of thousands of boys and girls came through, received the gospel, and got saved. Tens of thousands. There was Dr. and Mrs. Billy Kelly. They lost their son. When they lost their son, they went deep and they didn't come up for a while. But when they came out, they started an international ministry and God used it around the world. There was Dr. J. Harold Smith. Dr. J. Harold Smith was known for a famous sermon that was called God's Three Deadlines. We know the sermon, don't we? But we forget how it was birthed. Dr. J. Harold Smith had a son, and he said, I want my son to take my place as a national evangelist. That's what I want. And one night his son called him and said, he called his son one night, and he said, son, I want you to leave your apartment. For some reason, God woke me up, and he said, I just had a terrible dream and that you burned in your apartment. Get out of your apartment now. And he said, Daddy, go back to sleep. You've been eating too much pizza. And he had the same nightmare again, and he called his boy up and said, get out of that place. He said, I think you ought to come over and stay with Mom and I. He said, Daddy, I'll meet you in the office at 8 o'clock, just like normal. Go back to sleep. And he had that nightmare, and he called his boy up, and his boy didn't answer the phone that time. The next morning, the secretary came walking in. It was about 8:30 and said, Dr. Smith, I've got terrible news. Last night, your boy burned to death in the apartment. Oh, he got so depressed. He got so despondent. He was getting ready to give up on God, but he met with God in his office and closed the door and met with God, and it was on his knees that God gave him that sermon, God's Three Deadlines. Over 1 million people walked the aisle under that one sermon alone, receiving Christ. Oh, there was Dr. and Mrs. Spurgeon, and I'm done. And Dr. and Mrs. Spurgeon. Mrs. Spurgeon was an invalid. Invalid. And she said, but I've got a vision that God could use your sermons, Charles, all over. But they're not out there. I like to start what they call a penny sermon. And at one time, it sold more than the London Times. She was the one that published those sermons. The reason you have Spurgeon sermons today in books beyond measure is because of an invalid woman that could not get out of bed, that could not go to church, that could not support her husband, but yet she had a ministry that God gave her. What did she do? She turned her burden into a blessing. Now here's my question to you, dear beloved friend. What are you doing with your burden? How are you handling your burden? Are you carrying it by yourself? Are you hooking up with the one in the yoke with the one that can give you rest? Now, Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.